Good evening. And today we continue with our series based on the book of Psalm, and we are in Psalm 119. And our subject this evening is the comfort from the Word of God. And the section this evening is, if this is working, well, it's not working. Psalm 119, and is switching. That's it. Thank you very much. Thank you, Magnus. With your voice, it was fixed. Psalm 119, verses 49 to 56. Let's spend a moment in silence just to pray before we read the Word of God and then we reflect upon the Word of God. Let's spend a moment in silence and maybe one or two leaders in prayer. Let's bring up to the Lord our time together tonight. Let us pray. If you feel that you want to pray, let us pray to avoid any distractions this evening. Let us pray. Father, we place into your hands our time together. May your Holy Spirit speak into our hearts and help us to respond. Help us to receive what you have prepared for us as we gather in your house this evening. Bless us, Lord, because we come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 119 and the verses from 49 to 56. I think the thing is the comfort from the Word of God. And maybe we can divide this passage into three parts. The first one is that hope and comfort arises from God's Word. The psalmist asks for no new promise. He says, what you have spoken, please, I want you to fulfill it. He says, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. He doesn't say, remember my service to you, or remember what I have done for you. Some people say, remember how much charity I have been doing. Remember how I've been nice to people. Remember me. No, he said, remember your word to me. And the word here, you know, is remind us that when we serve the master of master, the Lord of our creator, we are on safe ground. The songs that we sound this evening, we are safe. And our duty is just to obey and carry on. The word remember is very important. This Hebrew word means recall, to call to mind. Another meaning is that can be used to reveal the cause for the recall or even making a memorial in order to remember something that the Lord has said to us. And so the psalmist is emphasizing the work of the Word of God in his life is the cause that remembered his law. He said, remember, Lord, that because that gives me comfort, that gives me hope. Now, the term used here, this word, is saying, remember me, your word is something that God himself has spoken. So what we have here is that God has spoken, and the psalmist says, I just want to do it. The term servant, we have remembered your word to your servant, is the same word that the Apostle Paul uses in his introductions to the churches. You know, a bond servant, a bond slave of Christ. Here the psalmist is revealing, I am your servant. Remember me, your word. I just want to do it. That's it. I just want to do it. One scholar says this. The psalmist here instructs us to prepare our petition upon these grounds. Okay, we are going to read in a moment that the psalmist is struggling. But he says, the first ground is that God cannot prove false to his own word. Remember your word. And the second is that he will never disappoint an expectation which himself hath raised. For you have given me hope. Comfort comes from the word of God. Now, the second point is that the word of God produces comfort even in trouble caused by the wicked. My comfort, shall we read together verse 50? My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. Now, the King James versions, I like the King James versions and the first parts. Shall we read the King James version? It says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Now, the psalmist is struggling. We don't know what's going on, but he's not left wanting because he, as he revealed in verse 50, this hope that he has, he knows where the comfort lies. Whatever is happening in his life, we don't know. He says, my suffering, he knows where the comfort, where is the comfort there. So some people say, well, money is my comfort. If I have this amount of money, I will be okay. If I have this holiday, I am okay. If I have success, I am okay. Other people say, no, drugs is my comfort. Alcohol is my comfort. If I'm having fun, is my comfort. The psalmist says, this is my comfort. But the people who hopes come from God feels and experience the giving power of the word of God. And he says, this is my comfort. Now the apostle Paul says, I know whom I have believed. So the apostle said, this is my comfort. That was the reason why he was able to endure hardships. He knew where was his comfort in times of troubles. You know why? Because he knew that he will never leave him alone. Now, this verse has the impersonal pronoun this, which we must know, what is it? What is this? This here points back to the hope that he was speaking about in verse 49. Now, some scholars said that this Hebrew word it means God is with me. This. And that when we receive Jesus, Jesus is where? In the building? Is Jesus in a cathedral? When we receive Jesus, is in us. This is my comfort. The psalmist knows that God himself is his comfort. This. The Hebrew word rendered to comfort means first to repent. And then to comfort. And certainly, you know, the sweetest, when women have a baby, I know a woman, okay? So I cannot tell you, but I can sense it's painful, okay? Tears. But have you experienced, maybe women can say that, you know, they are happy when they have the baby. In all the labor means nothing. You have your baby. Tears. That's what the psalmist says. Comfort comes first. We need to repent in order to enjoy the sweetest joy of having God in our lives. And you remember Hannah. Hannah was in tears, praying and praying. And after that, he was not sad anymore. That is the comfort. Now, we have something that other people don't have. Somebody has comfort on money. Somebody have comfort in addiction. Somebody have comfort if they are successful. But Thomas Brooks says, the joy of the wicked is but as a glass, bright and brittle, and evermore in danger of breaking. But the joy of the saints is lasting. This is my comfort. But we are on our journey. And the psalmist says this. Let's read verse 51. The arrogant mock me unmercifully, but I do not turn from your love. That is the journey. The proud ridicule the believers' subjections to God's love. We are in the 21st century. We are not to. You are out of date. You know, they ridicule the believers' delight in God's service. The arrogant mock. In the Bible, we have people who were mocked. David was mocked. And Job, if you read Job chapter 30, verse 1, we see how Job was mocked by the children of people who were not nice. We read about Paul, the apostle Paul. He was, you know, they say, oh, Paul, you are crazy. Joseph was mocked. He was nicknamed the dreamer. He became, the most powerful man on earth. And then Jesus himself, he was mocked. Thomas Adams says in his Bible commentary, say, worldly hearts can see nothing in those actions when we try to obey the word of God. But folly and madness, piety has no enjoyment, but it's offensive to them. So when I try to delight in the word of God, people are going to mock me. The psalmist experienced that. We are in good company. But those who have no faith, those who do not honor God, are met by the believer's determination. The word of God produces comfort even in trouble caused by the wicked. And the psalmist says, I am determined to hear your word because your word gives me comfort. Verse 52 says, I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Remember, in the beginning, the psalmist asked God to remember. Now, the psalmist remembered God's judgments. And we see here that he says, I remember. We have his word. We have to ponder. We have to read it. And, you know, and we can read about the past. It's so sad in many churches, people don't preach about the Old Testament anymore. Some churches say we are a New Testament church. We want to hear only about the New Testament. Oh, we have terror books in the Bible. Terrorist verses. We cannot preach on that. The psalmist says, I remember, Lord, your ancient laws. So he goes to the Bible. He goes to the scriptures. And these people ridicule the psalmist. But he don't sit in despair. He goes and study his scriptures. And when a godly person is unjustly treated, he or she finds comfort in the fact that there is a judge. There is a judge of all the earth. And he will avenge his own elect. He's in charge. And he is gonna be in charge of everything. So he said he's reading. And then somebody says, when we read the Bible, we are reading that the dead are speaking to the living. When we read the story of Moses, Joseph, and Gideon, and all these prophets, they are dead. That they are speaking to us. And we, the living, we have to listen. So David found delight in the ancient scriptures. Let's read together verse 53. Indignation The King James Version says horror have taken hold upon me. He was horrified. He was horrified at the action of the pride. And but he's these words are very hostile, perhaps, you know, hostile word from the psalmist, but they are words of righteous indignation. The wicked and their supposed they are successful here in the world, fly in the face of God's love. They simply to mock God, but the psalmist knows that God cannot be mocked. So he says, indignation greets me. For us as believers, Jesus hates sin. God hates sin. But we are not to hate people because they are sinners. You know why? If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 12, I'm going to read from the ESV. And, you know, as believers, sometimes we have this indignation, righteous anger, but we must realize that that we cannot be an anger towards any person, but our anger and our indignation must be focused toward the evil of this world. And Paul tells us here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Although we might see people opposing us, our true enemy is Satan. They are not our enemies. We must never transfer our righteous anger from him onto this world. The psalmist says, it overwhelms me. My friends, we are called to hate sin, but we are called to love people. The psalmist grieved, not because he was himself attacked, mocked, but because the love of God was forsaken. And he lamented the condemnation. In the same way, when we see our societies, when I see children disrespecting their parents, it breaks my heart because I know the future. When I see the nice culture going up and down this country, we know the future. That is what the psalmist is seeing, the end. And we are not just to be sympathetic, we are to bring what brings comfort. What brings comfort? The Word of God. So if we are a church that we says we want to be nice to people, we talk about love, and we don't bring the gospel, we are not having compassion. Your husband, your wife, your children, or grandchildren, they are going to hell. I'm going to hell is enough. Do what the Word of God says. So here, the psalmist is saying, indignation greets me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. But he said that he's doing something. Verse 54, the PowerPoint stop. Verse 54 says, your decrees are the thing of my sons, wherever I lodge. Verse 54. Like other God's servant, David knew that he was not a home in this world, but a pilgrim. He was a traveler. And he knew that his home was not his home. And then even the palace is not important for him. He says, your decrees are the thing of my sons wherever I lodge. The place where he rests is not what gives his comfort, is the decrees of the law. You know, people are inclined to, when they come home, they sing. Do you sing when you come to your home? David saying this. He says, your decrees are the thing of my sons wherever I lodge. Not only in the palace, everywhere. So the third point this evening is that the Word of God cheers the believer's journey, the pilgrimage. Do you like to sing the praises of the Lord? Have you noticed that when you sing a song based on the scriptures, fill your heart? When we sing these beautiful psalms, that's what David is talking about. And said, one old Bible commentary, he said, when religion is set to music, it goes well. When we sing in the ways of the Lord, it shows that our hearts are in them. We are reading it. We are singing. Ours are pilgrim songs, songs of degrees. But they are such as we may sing throughout eternity, for the statutes of the Lord are the psalmody of heaven itself. I don't know you, but when we sing these hymns that are based on the Bible, can you imagine those hymns you are going to be singing in heaven? Do you believe that? And then, so we need to prepare ourselves. Even if you don't sing well, sing it. Because I imagine, I hoped that I will be worthy to be there and singing away. And one put it like this. Such songs have power to quiet the restless pulse of care and come like the benediction that follows after prayer. You know, it's nice when some people, we are having a prayer meeting and suddenly somebody sing a chorus. How do you feel? That is what David is talking about. A pilgrim, a cheerful pilgrim, is a person who views his residence in this world as only the house of his pilgrimage. There are some Christians that they look after their home, their house, and they think they're going to be living there forever. Nothing wrong with that. But a cheerful pilgrim, you say, okay, no, my residence is up there. I remember a lady in the previous church. Every time we read, from the book of John, when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. She said, you know, Freddie, I like the King James Version. I said, why? Because he said, I'm going to prepare a mansion. All right. And I said, well, if he gives me a flat, I will be happy. And so the pilgrimage, we know that this home here is not our home. And I will be cheerful. You see again? Now, the second is that the situation, however disadvantaged, admits of cheerfulness. It's not nice when we go through the valley. But we know that God is in control. So I will not be cheerful. Some of you are going through tough times. But if you know that you are just a pilgrim, you know that the sources of his or your joy are derived from the scriptures. So the comfort comes from where? From the word of God. What a pity when sometimes people, when they are preaching, don't even use Bible reference. Some preachers, they start telling stories. And now the comfort comes from the word of God. Let's read together verse 55. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep you lost. When others slept, I walked to think of you. Some people say it's David or not, but the psalmist. Your person, your actions, your covenant, your holy name. I just go there and think and say, because I want to keep you lost. Do you have the experience? Sometimes you wake up in the evenings, in the night, and it's wonderful to remember what you did. Friday, I phoned one of my friends. She's the wife. You remember the missionary I always mentioned, Gerald Doyle? And he died, but she's still living. She's 82. And I phoned her. You know, and she lives in Texas. And I said, and she sounds so young. I said, my God, I said, you sound very well. I said, well, Freddie, you know, it's American. Well, Freddie, and my dear sister. I said, every day I wake up, and I do something for my Lord. And then I carry on my life. And people say that I look younger and younger. Praise the Lord. And they say, in the night, I just remember what I did. And I try to think what I'm going to do next day. And she sounds so beautiful. And she said, that is what I do. And I said to her, you know, Maurice, that's exactly what my dear sister Doris in London, she died when she was 101, used to tell me. Freddie, when I go to bed in the night, I remember what I did. That was exactly. Said, so you have a few years to go, my. Because that's what the psalmist said. We keep on thinking about what the Lord is doing and he's going to do. And in the night, there is never a time in which it is not proper to turn to God and think of his name. In the darkness of midnight, in the darkness of mental depression, in the darkness of the outward providence, God is still a fitting thing. Every time. Okay, we feel sad, think about the Lord. You feel depressed, think about the Lord. You feel happy, think about the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying. But finally, it finishes with something beautiful. Verse 56. We are going to read from two verses. This is precious. Let's read together from the NIV first. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Now listen what they said, the ESV. His blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. My friends, his blessing has fallen on me. The gain of godliness is what a man or a woman gets through holy living. We obey the word of God, Bangor is going to be a wonderful place to live. If we obey the word of God, London is going to be a very good place to live. But when we push aside God and we want to be just nice to people, it's going to be a hell place to live. That's what it's saying here. The blessing has fallen upon me. What is the duty? To keep his precepts. What is the reward? His protection, his guidance. The rabbi says something, you know, this is a very old commentary. And they said the rabbi has an analogous saying. The reward of a precept is a precept. Oh, a precept draws a precept. It looks very confusing, but it's not confusing. Okay, the meaning of which is that he who keeps one precept, to him God grants, as if by way of reward, the ability to keep another and more difficult precept. The contrary to this is the other saying of the rabbis, that the reward of a sin is a sin, or transgression draws transgression. So if I said to the Lord, well, I cannot keep these commands, I'm going to keep this one. And you are faithful to that, what is going to happen? You are going to keep the next one. And then you try to keep the next one. Oh, I cannot. God is going to bless you with another one. That's what the psalmist is saying. Now, if I do, this is just a white lie. And then that white lie becomes a pink one. And then becomes a black one. You see what I mean? That is what he's saying. Oh, it's nothing. Be careful. That's what the psalmist is saying. I have kept your precept. And he's going to bless us. Finally, let's read together. This is the last verse. I love from the ESV. Let's read it together. His blessings have fallen to me that have kept your precept. This is praise. His blessing has fallen to me is a phrase of praise. I have kept his precepts, so God is going to bless us. When we keep the word of God, God is going to bless us. When a church keeps the word of God, God is going to bless the church. When a city keeps the word of God, God is going to bless the family. And yes, we are going to have hard times, my friend. Some of us have hard times, but I invite you, as I conclude this evening, is that maybe the Lord, our Father, God wants us to remember this, that when you're going through tough times like the psalmist, he's whispering, I am for you. When you go through tough times, he's saying, I love you. Where do you find that? In the Bible. When you go through tough times, you read your Bible, you are going to find, say, I will not fail you. Lawrence, I will not fail you, said the word of God. And when you go through tough times, you open the word of God and say, I'll provide for you. And then you struggle and he said, I'm going to bless you. Oh, but then I'm praying and praying and praying. And the Lord, at some point, you open your Bible and you hear, I will hear you and I will answer you. I will give you rest. When people accuse you, when they mock you, maybe you are bullied at school, in university, or at home, I don't know. They raise your voices. Look to the word of God for comfort. The psalmist in this section refers to and rests his heart and soul within the very heart of God's law and word. As believers, regardless of the situation, we must always rest on the word of God. Do you fully trust in God's word to lead you today? My friends, surrender to God, and he will give you rest because he loves you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And I pray for that person who is struggling tonight, not finding rest. Maybe this person has been abused, mocked, because he or she wants to be faithful to you. Like the psalmist, I pray that she, like he, will be able to rely upon you, knowing that the comfort comes from your word. And I pray that this person will receive that comfort from your word, because you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. Oh, Father, help us to have rest. Help us to have that blessed assurance that you are with us. This is my comfort, says the psalmist. Help us to sing that all the days of our lives. Help us to have the blessed assurance that regardless of the circumstances, you are there for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.